Hey guys, Maria Menounos here. Before your favorite TV after show begins, we want to let you know about my new show on SiriusXM Stars Channel 109. It's called Conversations with Maria, and it's live Monday through Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern. Go to conversationswithmaria.com for more info. Buzz you later.
You're tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after show entertainment. AfterBuzz TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
There it is.
Welcome back once again, true believers, to your ABTV X-Files Season 10 After Show. We are finally here. We are talking about Episode 6, the finale, the end for now, My Struggle 2. Join the conversation by using the hashtag ABTVXFiles or by joining us, as always, in the live chat. I am Lex Michael, all over social media, at the Lex Michael, and with me, as always, are...
Well, hey guys, I am Lucretia Lyon, and if you can spell it right, it's LACRETIALYON, and that's all over the internet, because there's only one.
And you can follow me on Twitter, I'm Frank Moran, at Happy Go Jackie. And I feel like I would say, like, this is my struggle to watch this episode. And,
Man. So this is where I want to start this conversation. Before we dive into the specific pieces of this episode, as we always do, wanted to ask you guys, being that this is the second of a two-parter and also the finale to this set, this event series of episodes, how did you guys feel about it overall? Because if you have looked at the internet at all since it aired a few hours ago, it's become pretty massively divisive already. So what are your feelings about it, both of you? The episode specifically as an individual piece and also its relation to the event series as a whole.
Well, I will just say before we that I did like the just little nod to the first episode with the callback with where now we see Scully's narration from everything from her point of view. I thought that was a nice little touch to start the episode.
I like that, but then the end, I wanted to punch Chris Carter in the balls. Mm.
Yeah. All right, so a lot to unpack there. Frank, you said you wanted to start by saying that's the thing you liked. Is that a thing you liked, or is that the thing you liked?
I would say that's the thing that I liked. That's the thing that I liked. And then it went steadily downhill from there.
Okay. I'm still for Agent Firestorm, but...
Okay, so I think then that side of the table, we have a pretty strong negative consensus.
Well, what about you, Lex?
I mean... I don't know that I want to punch anyone in anything, but I was definitely bewildered by some of the narrative decisions that were made. I think as far as a story, I mean, it's certainly not a self-contained story because it picks up from the part one. There were elements of it, a number of elements of it, that I found more compelling than My Struggle, the premiere episode. But being that I was hoping, though not expecting, a certain amount of resolution, certain amount of closure, certain amount of what has been the purpose of these story elements up until now. Obviously, we didn't get that. I wanted to ask, though, because we got just now such a strong negative consensus from your side of the table. For both of you, what is it that you feel went wrong in this episode?
Well, to me, if you didn't think that this was possibly the last episode ever, it really would have been a good episode. But it's just, I mean, and trust me, with all the hype or whatever, there's probably going to be more. But there is this chance that, I mean, a plane could crash, like We Are Marshall style, and they all die, and we don't get more X-Files. So is this what you want to end it on? I mean, that's sort of my thing. It's just, it was almost just a huge middle finger to fans. I mean, especially with, like, the William, and it's just like, seriously, six freaking episodes of discussing William, and he's nowhere to be found.
Literally, one of the very last beats of the episode, the second to last thing that happens before, spoilers, the UFO shows up, is we need to get Mulder stem cells. We can only get these stem cells from the son that we had together, who, thanks to the alien DNA he inherited from me, would be immune to this virus. Where is he? I don't know. End of episode.
Oof, man. It's just, you know, I can't imagine, if you were to look back on this now, that I can't, the amount of people that, certainly X-Files is divisive, and we talked about, there's a lot of people that are mythology fans, and a lot of people are just Monster of the Week fans. And I can't imagine that after the six episodes, that number's got to be skewing more towards just Monster of the Week fans. I can't imagine anybody that's a mythology fan can feel like they're, like, please, you can't be still enjoying this as much as you once did. The first couple seasons, yes, when they were still, it was all kind of new and they're kind of building this. But when they started, you know, kind of spinning their wheels and not knowing where they're going and having to just kind of make it up as they went along, it is just not paying off at this point. And I just feel like, please, bring back X-Files, absolutely, but not so heavily in mythology.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's been the consensus over the internet, is just, like, Chris Carter, you know, he's George Lucas, and they don't mean that as a compliment.
I've read a lot of that over the past couple of hours about people comparing him directly to George Lucas and what George Lucas did with the Star Wars prequels. Indiana Jones. I don't know that I personally would go as far as to compare it to the Star Wars prequels, but I just remembered the Indiana Jones movie that we all collectively tried to forget about, and it might be, you could possibly compare it to something like that.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like certainly if you knew you were only coming back for six episodes, and it's tough because you do want to be able to come back to the fans and say, here's some great Monster of the Week stories. And you do have, you know, Glenn Morgan, James Wong, Darren Morgan. You want to have them to get a shot back at doing these episodes. And they weren't as heavily mythology-focused writers back then. So
they were better writers.
Yeah, so, but still, if you're going to give, I honestly would have rather have done away with last week's episode, just and devoted that more to the mythology, to be able to give this thing room to breathe and be able to kind of flesh it out and tell a better story.
Especially now that we've seen this final episode and we saw just how little closure to any of these elements we got, and what little seemed to be headed in that direction felt to me, and we'll talk a little bit more about it, felt to me so rushed and a bit confusing. I start thinking back to this what felt like a 10-minute sequence of Mulder having his weird trip at the dance bar, and I'm going, why? That was cute, but why did we need that I agree with you completely, that time could have been much better utilized laying groundwork so that you wouldn't have to do so much in this finale. Then I think about the episode itself and how maybe you guys can help clarify a little bit what Scully and Einstein spent so much time doing, because we take notes while we're watching. Most of my notes, when it goes back to Scully and Einstein, read something to the effect of, Scully and Einstein, do more science. I'm still confused.
I mean, as someone who, you know, does have a science background, it was just like, okay, like on CSI... they do this really quick. Could you guys not do that really quick so we could get it to the point? I mean, no one here is really watching it for the accuracy. We're just like, seriously, make a freaking cure with your alien DNA and get it over with. There was too much focused on the two of them working on this, and it's just like, I don't care about logic. I watch the X-Files.
Right, and I certainly don't dislike the notion of Scully being a woman of science, working with this younger woman of science to try and scientifically find a solution to this problem. I really like that in theory, but we spent so much time with them that didn't seem to move the plot forward in the slightest. And then all of a sudden we get to the last 9 minutes of the episode or so, and suddenly it's, I think we figured it out. Vaccine, quick, get this to everybody really, really quickly.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's different back in the day when the series was airing, that when you had 22 to 24 episodes for a season, it was easier to have that the kind of shift from mythology episodes to Monster of the Week ones. And you could have that tonal shift, and it would kind of work out because you were able to build on, you know, season after season, they're like kind of laying the groundwork, and you're able to reflect and build on those past stories. But when you only have six episodes, man, they just needed to be a little bit tighter and tell more of a complete story, I think.
Yeah, I don't disagree. That or eliminate the mythology aspect entirely. I mean, we've talked a bit on our after show here when we were first starting out. The mythology of the original series, as entertaining as it was, they were largely making up on the fly. And in season six, I believe it was, which was right after the movie, somewhere in season six when the syndicate is burned alive by aliens, spoilers, is burned alive by aliens – immediately after that, the whole thing flies off the rails completely. And you get stuff like, you know, super soldiers and whatever it is they were doing.
Obviously,
and,
that's okay.
Yeah, and like the face mask, which is awesome, by the way. For those of you who are only listening, Lucretia has shown up in Captain America pajamas, complete with a face mask with the little wings on top of it.
Oh, yeah.
And then,
available at Target. Yeah.
Target plug in the middle of our show. Mm. Not a sponsor. You get things like the super soldiers and you get alien viruses that can reanimate dead tissue, and Mulder can be abducted and come back dead, and then because they get to his body in time, he's alive. And the agenda starts becoming really wishy-washy, and none of it really makes sense. But, Frank, as you mentioned, when you've got 22 episodes to space all that stuff out, especially before the age of binge-watching television, I feel like it was a lot easier to get away with maybe not really having a clear idea of the structure of your mythology. But when you've really only got two episodes in which to play with that mythology, and they're airing so close together, and there is so much expectation, and there is so much fan anticipation riding on that, this idea of this new mythology, yeah, everything that is clunky or everything that doesn't quite cohere is absolutely going to stand out much more strongly. And that's true, I think, in a best case scenario. I also think we seem to have agreed that this is maybe not the best of all possible scenarios that we've witnessed.
No, because, yeah, I mean, you think certainly Fox seems interested, and so is the Chris Carter and
David Duchovny is also.
Yeah, and Gillian Anderson both said, yeah, they'd want to do more. But there was no guarantee of that going into this project, how it would be received and how they'd feel about doing any more of it. So the fact that you could go through these six episodes and not try to get, at least give us some kind of conclusion or some kind of resolution to end it like this just seemed like, why are you doing this?
Well, I think that they intentionally did it to hope that they would get more, but to me it was just like, that's pretty, dare I say, shitty on AfterBuzz TV. But yeah, I mean, that was sort of the thing, is like, what if we don't get more? There's always that big what if. I mean, even in the credits, I pointed out, it says, this is the end. That's what Chris Carter put in there, without even Danny McBride in this to make it funny. Like, that was just a huge middle finger to fans, and I mean, you know, the great Marilyn Manson once said, I wasn't born with enough middle fingers.
Oh, man. So I have a number of questions about this episode, this finale that we watched. And I feel like maybe the best way for me to address a lot of the questions that I have, maybe you guys can offer a little bit of insight or a different perspective than mine, is maybe by diving into the episode itself and breaking down some of the things that transpired that make me go, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I agree. I like the intro. I like the way that the intro mirrored the intro of the premiere with Scully's narration as opposed to Mulder's. And I like that we get, because it's a nostalgia thing, but we get the recap of her entire journey up to this point.
And then we end it with her morphing into an alien, guys. Mm. Scully morphed into an alien. As I wrote in my big pad of paper, Scully's an alien, everybody. Wait, that's for reals. That's for reals.
How amazing would it have been, even if every element of this episode had been exactly the same, but she morphed into the alien at the top of the episode and stayed that way. Mm-hmm. And no one comments on it either. They treat her exactly the same as they always do. Yeah, but she's just an alien. So Mulder has apparently been watching Tad O'Malley broadcast on his computer. Tad O'Malley, by the way, is back now.
That was good, I will say.
The way that the first episode made it seem like, you know, when everybody went into hiding, that it seemed like, you know, Tad O'Malley was just, like, fearful for his life.
I didn't know if he went into hiding or if he had essentially been blackbagged.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, is that they just had pretty much, like, silenced him. We're like, no, his crap isn't going on YouTube or anything, and now they just all of a sudden lifted the ban.
Yeah, apparently Tad O'Malley had just quickly gone home for the day.
Yes, yeah. That was it.
And what I love is, like, clearly Joel McHale watched Donald Trump, because, like, the mannerisms were even so much more Trump. And I will say, like, Tad O'Malley was entertaining, especially when he calls Mulder's phone and Scully answers. And, like, he's clearly talking, and who doesn't know it's Joel McHale's voice or Tad O'Malley? And she's like, who's this? Like, that's how I snagged a pro baseball player. That who's this line hooks him every time. I did love that.
That scene even just starts weird for me, because it has Scully coming into the office, into Mulder's office, and she's saying as she's walking in, the parking garage is locked down for some reason, thinking that maybe that's going to pay off in some reason or lead something. No, that had nothing to do with it. Why was that line even uttered? It's like, huh? Okay, that paid off in no way.
So, right, so Tad O'Malley has Scully meet him at Mulder's home,
yeah,
which has been ransacked. And we see, by the way, we see, and the structure of this episode is something else that I thought was very odd. And I do understand it is a staple of many of the mythology episodes of old to keep Scully and Mulder separated for as long as possible so that they can cover the most ground.
I didn't like that. I mean, to me, it was just like, okay, now they're separated. Like, Mulder's, I mean, at least with Mulder and the cigarette smoking man, there was this history. But yeah, like Scully with the Agent Einstein, and then like, I mean, I did like Miller coming in to save Mulder and him not dying, but you know, that's because Robbie always dies on every show. But sure. Yeah, it was just like, we want Mulder and Scully together. They literally were not together until the last freaking scene of the show.
And when you have so few mythology episodes, so few episodes in general to play with, especially when I think the draw for most people was seeing these two together, to keep them completely separated for the entirety of the finale, but then also effectively to keep Mulder completely sidelined until a scene near the end, which we'll get to.
It was a huge...
It struck me as a bit of an odd choice, even though I could understand where the inclination to go that way came from, because you see it in the history of the show, maybe not the best for this season structure. But they arrive, they talk about some new information, and this again is where I'm a little confused about what did Mulder know when, what was he going to talk to Tad O'Malley about, how long has Tad O'Malley been chilling at Mulder's house? There was a part of me, until we see later, we see the flashback of Mulder fighting this smoking man, who, yeah, spoilers, is in this episode. What? Apparently sent somebody to make a deal with Mulder, and by make a deal, he meant try to kill him. But par for the course for Smokey, I suppose. But until we got this reveal, we just see that Mulder's house has been ransacked. And because I was already having trouble following exactly who was doing what, who was giving what information to whom, I'm going... Like, how long has Tad O'Malley been there? Did Tad O'Malley trash the house by himself?
Jilted lover. Like, oh, Mulder, where'd you go? It was interesting, though, that for the credits of this, it's Chris Carter, but he's also co-wrote this with two doctors as well, which I noticed.
Yes, two doctors got story credit on it, and I'm wondering how much of that just had to do with maybe getting some of the vernacular associated with talking about a virus or a pandemic, getting some of that.
He couldn't Google that. Right. I mean, Jenny McCarthy, I mean, thanks, she's an expert on vaccines. Chris Carter couldn't say that.
So Mulder is missing, but we know now, in hindsight, that he is traveling towards the cigarette-smoking man, but nobody can find him because he's ignoring everybody's calls for some reason. And they worry together, they being Scully, Skinner, and Einstein. And I want to pause here to express my frustration and bewilderment that for the entirety of this revival, Skinner is present. He's in some of these episodes, but effectively does nothing.
Yes, he's very – I mean, just – I want Mitch Pileggi more in these episodes, and I just feel like we were just kind of teased, you know.
Well, I just hope that Mitch Pileggi, you know, next time, if we do get more X-Files, just goes his full-on Criminal Minds episode, just blows people's heads off at the 91 freeway. I mean, that's the thing, is he's a great actor who's underutilized, and to me, Skinner's the kind of guy that would go crazy and murder people. I kind of just, give him something to do, if not that.
Certainly from last episode when Einstein talks about Mulder, it's like, oh yeah, you know, Skinner really likes me because I gave him some headache remedies and stuff like that, because he says that you're the reason he has all these headaches. And yet we've never seen any interactions basically since he's come back, other than when he picked him up in Texas and said like, all right, you're done for the day. But that was it.
Yeah, like that was like the only funny like Skinner moment. We've had a few little like, he's, you know, he's always sort of like the Debbie Downer to their little schemes or whatever. It's like, all right, Skinner comes in. No, you can't do that. It's not by the book. But... we still got, like, one time of that. It's like, okay, I know it's only six episodes, but damn.
Well, yeah, it's like, so wait, Skinner likes Einstein because she gave him headache remedies for the headaches that Mulder gave him 20 years ago?
I guess so, because, I mean, I haven't seen anything in these six episodes that made me think that he's, you know, just really a bee in Skinner's bonnet.
Yeah, it was because Skinner's barely there.
Yeah.
Which, again, is a bummer because, yeah, I agree. I want to see far more of Mitch Pileggi. And I always really enjoyed the Skinner character. I thought his arc was among the most compelling of any character on that show. So on the one hand, yeah, when the revival was coming back, I got just as excited to see Skinner in those promos as I got to see Mulder and Scully.
He got put in the credits and he's literally the Tad O'Malley and Agent Firestorm and, you know, Agent Einstein clearly have more screen time than Skinner. And he was in more episodes.
Yeah, I mean, for the episode there when he's they're in the Skinner's office and the Homeland Security, I think it is, they confiscated all the files. And he said, of course, he made copies, right? So I liked having Skinner just like he's had this long history with Mulder and Scully, know how they operate at this point. And so it's like, all right, yes, you guys play against the rules. I know that. So you guys made copies, right? So I like that kind of,
And now in the finale, all of that backstory, all of those years, decades of dedicated hard work, camaraderie, and friendship is utilized so that Skinner can go, I don't know where he is. Whoops. But okay, so Lucretia, you just mentioned Tad O'Malley again. Yeah. This is one of my biggest questions as applies specifically to this episode. So, all right, let's whistle past the fact that we have no idea how Tad O'Malley continued to be completely fine and do the exact same show. We return to Tad O'Malley a number of times throughout this episode because he is a big... He's the mouthpiece for exposition, essentially. And something else that I think is maybe not the strongest possible storytelling decision is that we are told so much about what is happening with this virus without actually seeing it. But when we hear about it, we're always hearing about it from Tad O'Malley. So my question is, where is literally any other news outlet while this is going on?
Well, as he says, like, the mainstream media is not giving this the coverage that it deserves here. But thank God we have Tad O'Malley on the case.
You guys have ever watched Fox News? I mean, that really is it. No other news outlet is covering this great conspiracy. I mean, that's sort of how it is. I mean,
but I would
there
love
is this one crazy guy, like, we'll call him Tad O'Malley, Glenn Beck, whatever you want to throw out, that will give you the real news.
but I'm still going to, sure, yeah. I'm still going, there are people getting weirdly sick in large numbers all over the country. There's looting happening. Mm. There are riots. And nobody's saying anything about this anywhere except Tad O'Malley.
Yeah, I wanted to see the programming that you're seeing on CNN and MSNBC and Fox. Like, it's just like, hey, guys, there was a bake sale.
Nothing happened today.
Yes. Do you guys watch the news? That's pretty much what it is. It's like, all right, Fox News is like crazy stuff happening, and then you go to the regular news and they're like puppies. America. I will say, like, that was kind of accurate, although when the looting started I could see that maybe CNN might have picked that up, but like still their local affiliates, like I don't know what other people have, like KTLA, they're still gonna be like puppies need to be adopted.
Sure. Okay.
But yeah,
enough.
To me, when Scully, like the guy, like picks up the road sign and, you know, starts to loot in the store and it's like, no, help is on the way. I was like, what the hell was that?
See, in my notes, I literally wrote down, Scully stops a riot. Sure.
Yeah. I know. I was like, I'm sorry if Agent Dana Scully came over there and I'm like rioting. I'm not going to stop. Like, oh, help is on the way. Well, you know what? I'm pretty sure I could run away with this TV before they get here. All right?
The only reason I was looting is because I was pretty sure no help was coming. Now that you have assuaged these fears, I will return this. I will actually help repair the glass that I broke. Yes. So, yeah. All right. Let's assume then, for argument's sake, you're right. The mainstream media is not the best when it comes to reporting anything. And let's say, fine, Tad O'Malley is the only guy who we can turn to in this, our darkest hour, the potential end of the human civilization in America. Okay, how do you guys feel then about the decision, from a storytelling perspective, to have Tad O'Malley be this exposition mouthpiece and to not show us any of it?
That just seemed weird to me.
Yeah.
Because it made it seem more crazy. Then not. If you're trying to make this seem like it's the end of the world, then I want to see that it's more people than just Tad O'Malley seeing this and commenting it and talking about it and realizing, oh my gosh, what are we in for? We don't actually know what this is and we're really in deep trouble. But to only just see it from his point of view, you're like, all right, this still seems like some dude in his basement just like ranting about the end of the world. Get your tinfoil hats on, guys.
Well, it cuts back to him. He's talking to the doctor. He's talking to the doctor about how it's essentially like a super AIDS without the HIV. And I'm going... wow, that does sound bad. And then it cuts back to, you know, Scully and Einstein doing vague science that I don't understand. Cuts back to him a little bit later, and he's going, we're getting confirmed reports of the first deaths. It's soldiers from anthrax and the elderly with weakened immune systems. And I'm going, well that does sound bad. I wonder what that's like. And we never really see it.
No. Yeah, it was like, to mention anthrax and then really not, like, go in depth, it's like, okay, you're mentioning things that could really happen, this biological warfare, but they just pussed out, for better term.
I mean, because we get a little bit of touch when Scully and Einstein, they go to the hospital, and they do see a soldier that just kind of showed up there, and they see that he's got a lesion on his shoulder where they get an injection to prevent anthrax. And so that's when Scully starts piecing it together and also thinking that it might be delivered through the smallpox is how the whole thing may have started. That they could have, the government could have tampered with people's DNA through that, through those means.
Right. There's that.
Yes. Which has always been like a long-held conspiracy theory, that there's always been like something that, you know, the smallpox could be some kind of way that the smallpox vaccination could be a way that the government has tampered with our DNA.
Well, this does seem like a very abrupt way to bring in the anti-vaxxer paranoia concept.
I know. And it was just like, are you getting too political here, Chris Carter? I mean, if you subscribe to the same science crap that Jenny McCarthy does, it's really hard to watch your X-Files episodes. But I mean, the way it turned out in the end is like, not against vaccines in a way, because they need a vaccine to save them, but it was still like, seriously, you're going to mention that? What is this, Law and Order SVU? Like, we switched it halfway through. Like, aha! We told you vaccines were bad.
Well, it's like, it's not even that. That's the thing. It doesn't really come down clearly on one side or the other of that issue. No. It just addresses that is a concern some people have. Because the solution isn't, these vaccines have actually been helping us all along. And the solution isn't, these vaccines have actually been damaging us all along.
No.
The solution is, let's fight these evil vaccines with our good vaccines.
Yes. Some people have been specially chosen and had their DNA tampered with, and they are the ones that can now, if we can sequence their genomes correctly, we can save the rest of the world.
By the way, is that what the science was all about?
Yeah, sequencing those genomes, man. We got to sequence. Can't get enough sequencing.
Okay, I want to divert from the science conversation for a second to touch on this absolutely bewildering notion to me that in a building full of FBI investigators that Miller is apparently the only one in a building full of trained investigators, many of whom know that Mulder is missing and want to know his location. Miller is the only one who thinks to track Mulder's phone.
Well, he's clearly the only one that bothered to even look at Mulder's computer.
Did no one even check Mulder's office?
Yeah, I mean, as Scully was in there, why not look at his computer and say, like, hey, what was he working on last? Oh, wait, there's his phone, find a phone icon. All right.
Well, to me, in Scully's defense, she probably thought it was just full of porn. I mean,
she would not. It's very understandable that would be a concern of hers. Now, Scully, I could almost see not checking because she sees the Tad O'Malley broadcast and then immediately gets the call and she's off again. I can understand Scully maybe not making that leap. What I have a hard time with is literally no one else in the building making the same leap. That just seems nutty to me.
Yeah. But thank goodness Agent Miller decided to take that extra time. Like, that was, because it's just like, all right, then that was so easy to find him, and it wasn't a big deal at all.
And that's the thing. He tracks the phone, and that's where Mulder is.
Yes. There's
totally.
I just, what?
Yeah. Ugh.
So Miller goes off after Mulder, and around this time in the episode, Scully gets another phone call. Frank, I want you to just pick this ball up because your nonverbal reaction was wonderful just now. For those of you listening, Frank half smiled, he smirked and started shaking his head.
That phone call was ridiculous. the fact that Scully gets a phone call, it's somebody that's helped you in the past and it's like, why don't you just say it's Reyes? Doesn't actually just say it's Reyes, who has actually worked with you for several years back in the X-Files.
You know exactly. It's because they knew they were about to go to commercial. Reyes knew they were about to. She felt instinctively that they were about to cut to commercial, and she had to be very coy about it.
Oh, that was just so ridiculous. Like, come on. That's not how you would contact somebody, especially for a life-threatening emergency. Just tell, I'm going to tell you who I am so you know who I am. I'm going to be really cryptic about it. That's fine.
She didn't recognize her voice. Again, with Tad O'Malley, that's just how women do. But when it's Reyes, it's like, you know it's freaking Reyes. Like, you know people's voices, Scully. It was just not believable.
Yeah, so
we knew it.
Speaking of unbelievable, the two agents meet, and they have their covert umbrellas, as you often see in espionage stories. They have their discreet covert umbrellas. And Scully asks Reyes, you know, what's going on? Where have you been? All I knew about you is that you left. It seemed like you left the FBI in a hurry about 10 years ago. What happened?
No, and no shout out to Doggett.
Yeah, but Doggett doesn't even get a name drop, by the way.
Nothing.
That would be one of my first questions. Like, you're here. You're okay. Where's the guy you were always with?
Yes. Well, I will say, like, a lot of it has to do with the fact that Robert Patrick was unavailable. But when I found out that Adam Baldwin could have played Doggett, I just got really angry because he would have been back. Because Last Ship sucks.
I don't even know what. Yeah. But I mean,
so I can understand. It's his other ship.
Yeah, I mean, okay, he's unavailable because of Scorpion. But at least name check him.
Yeah, I get why we don't see Doggett.
Yes,
I don't get why we have all suddenly collectively forgotten Doggett. It's one thing I could almost see it where in the second movie neither one gets a name drop. They're not, you know, Reyes and Doggett aren't physically there. Mulder and Scully are preoccupied with Billy Connolly and his bleeding eyes. I get it. There's no reason maybe to bring them up. But when you're face-to-face with one, and have they ever really been together in a situation that Doggett was not in any way involved in? I feel like that would be the first or second question.
Yeah, it's like, where's Doggett? What's he doing? Yeah, just at least give me something.
Reyes goes, I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And I don't like piling on, but this story that Reyes tells does feel a little bit like Chris Carter going, I don't know.
And the way that it's told, where they actually kind of do that kind of weird effect on the outer sides of the screen there. So it looks like you're looking through like an eyeball or something like that. It was such a weird stylistic choice in how they're showing this flashback.
Yeah. So the story that Reyes tells is that 10 years ago, she is summoned by someone who is revealed in short order to be the Smoking Man, who has been terribly burned. He was dead for all intents and purposes, but we're rebuilding his entire face. Rebuilding. There was no face. We saw. I'm gonna let it slide. I'm gonna let it go. But we saw at the end of season 9, there was nothing left of this person. But okay, you know what? I'm not a doctor. I am sure they can do a lot with modern medicine that I don't know about that would blow my mind. So I'll whistle past it. I do not understand for the life of me why Cigarette Smoking Man contacts Monica Reyes.
Yes, out of every, like, what was her, there was nothing particularly special or very connected with her to any of the larger mythology that I would think, like, he would reach out to her out of anybody that we've seen ever in the X-Files past that, like, yes, I gotta go with Monica Reyes.
Well, and to me, it was just like, did they even interact? It's like, does he even know who the hell she is? Because most people, I mean, don't even count the last two seasons because Doggett and Reyes and, you know, there was a lot of just odd stuff that happened that they seemed to gloss over. So it was just kind of like, okay, they just pulled a character from then to make a double agent, I guess.
If my memory serves, Smoking Man is out of the series pretty much entirely from the later part of season 7. Till the finale, the very finale. I don't think that he and Reyes ever interacted in the slightest. Now, granted,
yeah, that was what I thought. Yeah.
When you are the Cigarette Smoking Man, you are, for all intents and purposes, the devil. I think they leaned on that really, 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 really hard in this episode, the whole idea of Smoking Man being the devil, for all intents and purposes. So I suppose in a world where clearly you cannot be killed, you may also have the power to go, well, this person hung around with those people I like to mess with a whole bunch. Let me mess with this person. I can't seem to find Doggett anywhere, so I'm only going to talk to her. And he makes this deal with Reyes that I don't really understand. And I wanted to ask both of you if you understood this deal, because the deal as I understood it is, I will save your life because I have the ability to wipe out mankind except for the people I deem to be elite or worthy. I will spare you if you blank. Because the blank seems to be hang out with me and light my cigarettes.
Yeah, because that was what I thought. I was like, what is the deal here? Because it's not like Reyes poisoned these people or anything. So, yeah, they didn't explain it. And it's sort of like, I mean, when he said, I'm the most powerful man in the world, my first thought was, yeah, you totally made the Seahawks win the Super Bowl. But, yeah, I mean, other than that, it's just like, dude, like, this was your plan? Like, to save Reyes and Scully and who the hell else? I mean, that was it? And then create a new world? I mean, do you plan on procreating with them? I don't think that's how that works. I mean, you were burned.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I still wouldn't have liked this direction, but I would have thought it would have made more sense if it had been with, say, Skinner was the one that he brought in, and he really put the nails to him and said,
because
all right.
Because he was there the whole time.
Yes, he had some kind of relationship. He had some kind of leverage or something like that. You could see at least there was some kind of connection there. And, you know, I don't think I wanted to see Skinner taken in that direction, but at least I could buy that if that's who wanted to lay the groundwork for.
Well, yeah, and if you want Smoking Man to really affect our protagonist by putting his hooks into somebody important to them, why don't you have him put his hooks into somebody important to them? Clearly, they haven't even spoken to Monica Reyes in about a decade.
Well, and I did like the fact that the cigarette smoking man mentioned that he was not, in fact, responsible for global warming. Like, every other tragedy, totally on him. But global warming? Nah, that's on Obama.
So there are a couple of things, because very quickly after this exposition dump, we see, you know, Reyes tells Scully that, well, Cigarette Smoking Man loves Mulder very much, and he wants him to be protected as well, which is, I did think, was an okay way, without laboring it too much, to reference the fact that, as far as we know, the Smoking Man is, in fact, Mulder's biological father. Yikes. But it's a way to get us from there to this man that the Smoking Man apparently sent to make a deal, tries to kill Mulder, but Mulder is able to very, very easily get the information out, not just who sent him, but exactly where to find the Smoking Man. Mulder finds the Smoking Man, and the two of them essentially monologue at each other.
And before we get too heavily into that, I will say the worst line of the night happened right there at the tail end of the Cigarette Smoking Man and the Monica and Reyes flashback. Was like, at least I have you to light my smokes. And so Monica Reyes is just basically just sticking the cigarettes in his throat. Like, that, come on. That was awful.
It's interesting. I have a couple of specific notes about lines in this episode. That wasn't one of them, but Mulder's, one of his very first lines to the Smoking Man is in my notes, and the line is, "I don't come when you call." but you did. Yeah. You just did. Yeah. That's exactly what you just did. What?
I won't give it up Mulder's fight scene, though. I thought, I was like, all right, Mulder, get the little ass in that scene.
Yes.
When did he learn these skills?
He did. Seemed like a step up from what we've seen Mulder in the past.
That, I think, has more to do with the advancement of technical filmmaking and television than anything else. Because I think Mulder has always been able to, he's never been the best fighter in the FBI, but he's always been able to defend himself physically when he was fighting a human opponent. It's one thing if you're grappling with, say, alien bounty hunters or super soldiers, but I think he's always been okay at fisticuffs when he's dealing with another human. But it definitely seemed like he's been practicing, and maybe that's what he does, but he did in the cabin for so many years. Like, he had a little jujitsu gym under it, and he practiced that way. But so the two of them talk, and I really wanted this to be my favorite scene of this episode. It may still be my favorite scene of this episode. There are a couple of little things that I did like. And we're talking little stuff. Stuff as small as I made sure to look at the package of cigarettes, and there's still Morley's. That made me feel nice. The Lucretia, what you brought up about his list of things that he's not actually responsible for. In my notes here, I have decimation of the megafauna. Okay.
Yeah.
So he's not responsible for the decimation of the megafauna. He does at one point pull off his face.
Yeah, wow. Great. I mean, great physical effect on there. I'll give that. That was interesting. But I wasn't expecting that, to be honest.
Yeah, that was a little like, okay. But what was the point?
Yeah.
It definitely made him look creepier. It definitely made him even more sinister. I will say, given how entirely and thoroughly he was disintegrated at the end of season 9, all things considered, I think he looks pretty great.
Yes.
I will say they are, and I mentioned this before, they're really hitting the Smoking Man is the devil nail on the head really, really, really hard, to the point where when we got, because we are watching it on Fox as it's airing, when we got the little lower third promo for Lucifer and the title Lucifer was over the lower third of the Smoking Man, it was comedic in its effect because his entire performance is modulated even more from what I remember in the original run of the series, is modulated so hard in the direction of Satan that it becomes a bit of a joke in and of itself. And all of a sudden, Miller just finds them.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Spooky Man wants to offer Mulder a seat at the big boy table there.
So is he, like, rebuilding a syndicate, essentially?
It seems like it, and he's taking his chosen people he thinks he could do this with, which I can't imagine, like, given all these years of interacting with Mulder and Scully, why he would ever think that they would be like, you know what, yeah. Yes, we're in.
This is the one. Yeah. It took 20-some-odd years, but you know, Smokey, you wore me down.
Yeah, you played the long game.
Old Smokey, as he called him.
I'll be honest, I'm impressed.
It's like, all right, if we're all going to die, I guess I'll join your syndicate.
Like, I saw your skeleton, and you're still here trying to make deals with me. I mean, yeah. So, Scully and Einstein do more science is in my notes.
Yeah, I mean, they do one. They sequence their genome once. They don't find this alien DNA, and then they realize they need to take a larger cross section of her DNA. I guess so. They had to take even more blood and do a bigger cross section, look at the bigger picture, and then they do find it. And then for some reason, it goes from it's going to take a couple hours to get this processed and made, and then immediately we just cut to the next scene. And it's already done.
Yeah, I have a lot of questions about how it would be possible to not only synthesize, but to mass manufacture a vaccine to save everybody in the amount of time it seems like they have, which is...
AfterBuzz TV.
Which is that. Which is not enough. Maybe that's the news, is that 15 minutes is not enough time to mass produce a vaccine to an incredibly aggressive virus. They start calling the virus the Spartan virus, which does seem to be a strange amalgam of all of the viruses.
Yeah, like, what did they say? Rhinovirus, smallpox, like, avian flu. Like, they literally said everything. So, that didn't really make sense, how anyone can be affected with everything or one thing or what. That was the thing. It's like, okay, if you say it's smallpox, make it smallpox. That's a big deal, but don't say it's like literally any virus ever people will get.
Yeah, it's all of them.
That's not logical.
It's really bad. That's how you know it's really bad. It's all of them.
No. Super AIDS.
they literally refer to it essentially as super AIDS. So it's the Spartan virus, and they come up with this plan. Okay, we're gonna use Scully's alien DNA. We're going to synthesize this vaccine. All the doctors are starting to get sick, so we don't have a ton of help, but we weren't asking for any to begin with. Not sure why it even matters that the other doctors are also getting sick.
Yeah, I mean, I guess to show you that it's becoming a very serious illness. Did you enjoy having basically just two versions of Scully? Were two Scullies better than one in this?
I mean, I like it in theory. That's why I very quickly got past the idea of Miller and Einstein being set up as a potential spinoff, because they are so shticky in their characterization. They are so weird clones of Mulder and Scully, to the point where their existence plays more like a joke than as two new, fresh, created characters. And it's not a totally unfunny joke in theory. This, again, I'm asking myself, why was she not with Mulder more of this episode instead of with her doppelganger doing weird, almost science?
It didn't even make sense. And to me, at least with Agent Miller, I mean, he's a little bit more solemn. And, I mean, that was the thing. It's like, okay, if we're going to have too much of this Einstein with Scully, I mean, Miller, like, had, what, like, two lines? I mean, it's like, really?
That's true. Miller barely speaks.
Hardly anything. And it's like, okay, like, at least get some conspiracy, some something be Mulder about it. But, and he's just there for eye candy, I guess.
Well, he is very pretty.
I know.
But that's like, even that whole scene. So he finds him there at the cigarette smoking man's house or wherever he's at in South Carolina.
Oh, I'm sorry. Before we go back to the house where Miller saves Mulder, we do have to pause to acknowledge what I believe is the worst line of the night.
All right.
I feel so much guilt piling on. For my money, the worst line of the night, and quite possibly the worst line of the entire revival, they're in the hospital, Scully and Einstein, and they're in this room that they're working in, and the building shakes, and the power starts to waver. And when they're in the dark, my notes say, quote, as if we're not already in the dark. Oh, no.
All right.
Anyway, yes, back to this house. You were saying,
So Miller just easily able to just walk right in, extract Mulder. Cigarette Smoking Man just taunting and menacing.
Yeah. By the way, is Smoking Man there alone?
I guess so. And then he walks out onto the front step of that house there, and he's holding the gun in his hand. And I was like, but he doesn't do anything with it. Like, why? If you're holding this gun, why don't you shoot Miller? Why didn't you shoot Miller?
For the last 10 minutes or so of this episode, I kept waiting for Robbie Mel to get killed on another network show.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, he's been killed 3 times on The Flash. 3 times. And why didn't he get killed on this one?
And he, Smoking Man, lets Miller take Mulder. And all he says is, before he dies, tell him goodbye for me. So
that was just so weird. To me.
Weird.
Yeah.
I agree with you completely, and I don't know a better adjective for it than weird. It all felt really weird.
Because if you're not going to try to save Mulder's life, you accept that he's going to die, even though you do have this great affection for him. But so why are you just letting him being carried away? I mean, why aren't you just killing Miller in front of him and then just let Mulder just expire there in front of you? I don't understand what the whole motivation was. Like, all right, we're going to let you just take him away so he can die in front of Scully, I guess?
Yeah, the logic is not there.
So Miller gets on the phone with Scully. Einstein's starting to feel the effect of this illness, but Scully gets this IV into her because apparently they've managed to synthesize a vaccine
so fast.
She says to Einstein, okay, we're going to get this in you. I need you to help me by staying here and getting these IVs to the other doctors. Okay, fine. That's not unintelligent in a world where you magically synthesized a vaccine that quickly. Miller updates Scully on his and Mulder's location, and she rushes out to go meet them. This is when she stops a riot.
Yes, stops a riot, and then she just gets into a random truck and drives down. And like she gets on the sidewalk, and there's a guy in another truck coming out of a garage, and she honks a horn because he's blocking the way. And the guy just backs up.
He
like,
knows.
No, we're all trying to get out of here, but this guy's like, no, oh, I'm sorry, yeah,
you're a series regular. Excuse me. So they convene on this bridge where Miller and Mulder are, and Scully can't get her vehicle onto this bridge because it's full of people who are presumably trying to run away from this disease, and she approaches them on foot. Mulder's not doing very well. She says, we're going to save you. Miller says, you know, what are we going to do? You know, I don't know how we're going to deal with this. He needs help. I'm okay. I mean, I'm not going to be okay for much longer, but I'm okay right now. He's clearly hurting. And she goes, you know, it's worse than I thought. He needs stem cells.
Which then basically means to me that everybody else that's been sick right there also needs stem cells. So this vaccine is not going to work on pretty much anybody that has shown symptoms for as long as Mulder.
I also like that on her way there, apparently she took the time to text Tad O'Malley about this vaccine so that he could be the mouthpiece for the exposition again to the world and say, I've received a text from a doctor friend that there may be a ray of light.
Yeah, but
yeah,
not really
because you didn't. Yeah. Oh, so out of it.
So Mulder needs stem cells. Where are these stem cells going to come from? Our son together. William. Where's William? I don't know. UFO in the sky over everybody. Zoom in on Scully's eye, and that's it. We're done. What?
Yeah. For like Lucretia was saying, and for all these episodes that we've been talking about William, to not have any sort of payoff to that in any way, shape, or form, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, middle finger to fans. I mean, that was the thing. It's like, okay, we know he's the cure, but that's it?
The only thing I thought in that moment where it's like, are they going to go there and be that crazy? Where she's like, oh, we need our son William. He's the only one that can do this. I thought she was going to say like, and I know you, Agent Miller, are our son William. I thought that was going to happen. I was like, don't. Please not that. Please not that. And you were in front of us all alone.
That's our other show.
So that's the finale. That's my struggle too. And we're going to have to wrap up pretty soon here, but because for now, that's it. For now, this is the end of the X-Files. We know that everybody seems very game to come back, and this has been successful enough numbers-wise for Fox. They seem very interested in making more, so it's a matter of scheduling to get everybody to come back. For now, there is no next week's episode. So in lieu of a more traditional prediction section, I wanted to ask you guys two things. One, what are your thoughts about this revival as a whole? Did you think it was overall successful? Was it more unsuccessful, and why? And also, if and when the X-Files inevitably returns in some form, how would you like to see them proceed from here?
Well, for me, it's I think this was successful. I mean, for as much as that we've kind of piled on this last episode, and even the Chris Carter episodes, just the fact that having Scholar and Mulder on our screen,
Scholar and Mulder,
Scully and Mulder,
I
shipped them right there. That was my shipment for them. I think I did that.
Mulder.
But having Mulder and Scully for 6 weeks was great. But I think just the non Chris Carter episodes were my favorites. And I would rank Darren Morgan's as number one. I thought, as just even if you only if X-Files came back for just one episode, that would have been the episode, because I thought that was just a great journey, and it really just painted a great picture for where the X-Files was and where it could be now.
Yeah, because to me, the ending of that episode, Darren Morgan's episode where they meet the were-monster, is just the Mulder I want to believe, and you know he gets this payoff. That should have been the freaking ending if we weren't going to get any more. And the possibility is we're not. I mean, even though it is likely with how much money it made, it's all dollar bills, y'all. I mean, the thing is like that ending would have been so much better. Just that scene with Mulder, I want to believe in getting his hope back. But no, we have, yes, the aliens have come to possibly save the universe, but it was just like, ah, ha, ha, we might not do any more, but if y'all just really tweet enough, we'll get more. It was sort of like Chris Carter giving us the finger, like, if you love us enough, you'll do it, but it's an arbitrary number of loving me. But to me, as a whole, I was glad to see it back, and I mean, I'd rather have these six episodes than nothing, but it's just... The wrap up was just mean.
Well, that's about where I find myself, which is it reminded me how much I love the X-Files and how much I miss the X-Files and how much I think there is still room at the table culturally for the X-Files to exist. If that's all it accomplished, okay, then I think it was worth doing. And I certainly think that the fact that Mulder and Scully meet the were-monster exists now, to me, takes away a little bit of the sting of some of what I thought didn't work. The question really for me is, if we're going to use this as a launching pad for more X-Files in the future, because especially the way it ended, it felt to me like we just watched a 6-hour prologue to something. If they continue, would you guys prefer to see another event series? Would you like to see a more traditional 22-episode TV season? Would you like to see a third movie? And within that, would you like to see them pick up this mythology or what?
I mean, I think just we know that a 22 episode or 24 episode season is not in the cards. Just it's just not going to be feasible with everybody's schedule. So I figure at most 6, maybe we get lucky and they can make it 8. Because I know that there was kind of the idea that that was their ideal target beforehand when Glenn was in here talking that. But I figure we have to at least close off this mythology, but I would love it if we could just close it off in one episode, maybe two, like a two-parter, and then let's just drop it and then just focus more on just Monster of the Week stuff.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, whether it's 6, 8, 10, whatever, I mean, as long as it's not 22, I mean, I think we could get, and as long, you know, to me, they need Vince Gilligan back, so if they could just try to write it at the time that Better Call Saul is not going on, we might get a different perspective. And maybe Bob Odenkirk on here, I don't know. But that's the thing, is if it comes back, like, let's do more like Mulder and Scully Meet the Were-Monster, not this Chris Carter crap, because he's George Lucasing all over the place.
Ooh, harsh words.
Oh, well, Lex, you sit there just there watching. What do you think?
Oh, man, it's hard for me to disagree very aggressively with anything either of you guys are saying. What I would love, to me, absolute best case scenario is... We don't get any more episodes. They pull together the resources to do one final X-Files feature film. It caps off the entire series in a way that is satisfying and is finally, after this many years of fitting send-off to these characters and this world. As we know, ideal situations are ideal situations because of how rarely they actually come to pass. I think it's far more realistic because of scheduling. We'll get something more akin to what we got this time around. Maybe, yeah, like you were saying, maybe we'll get a couple extra episodes. But I think it's a lot more likely given the investment, the monetary investment in episodic TV versus feature film, as well as if you're going to make the investment, we can get certain people here for certain days. We can get certain creatives here for certain days. we can get certain creatives on certain episodes versus others that, you know, we can't. Like on this one, we had James Wong do one. We had the Morgans each do one. You can get back some people that maybe couldn't make it this time around, like a Vince Gilligan, who maybe could come and play on one for a week or so. We'll see.
Yeah, but it's just like when you were saying, like, in an ideal world, you get a movie to kind of put a cap on this. I don't want the X-Files to go out, at least right now, the way I'm feeling, and seeing how these the bookends of this series went. I wouldn't want it to be, if they came back and just did one ideal wrap-up, it's going to be so mythology-based. And that's not how I want the X-Files to go out, at least now. It's been so many diminishing returns with this mythology stuff that I would not want it to go out like this. At least maybe do a two-parter to wrap it up, but then just send out the X-Files in another fashion.
I agree. I think it would be very tough if you jumped right from this to something else because there's no closure on anything right now. You would have to do a mythology story. So, all right, I agree then. Revision. New ideal scenario. We get another very limited series, 6 episodes or less, to completely wrap up this mythology. And then we get a feature film that definitively wraps up these characters' arcs and the world that they live in, but in a way that is far more focused on the characters and the relationships, because that, I think, is why people were so excited to jump back in the first place. The core is sound, and the core is Mulder and Scully and their relationship with each other. If you can go back to focusing on that and less Tad O'Malley, Super AIDS, Monica Reyes changing allegiances for shifty reasons that I don't quite understand, less of that and more why we came back to the party in the first place would excite me.
Yes, absolutely. Because it's just, man, I just look at, and I keep harping back in that episode, but Scully and Mulder meet the Weremonster. That was just such a great character piece in there. And that's, I would love to see more of that. Even Glenn Morgan's episode too.
Yeah.
That was just a great Scully piece as well. Just really focused on her character. Just those episodes like that. I want to see more of those.
And I'd like Skinner to have more lines next time.
I know, like, he's such a good character. It's like, okay, he's just pretty much there to, like, tell them, oh, God, you can't do this. Like, we get one funny Skinner quip with the cowboy, you know, section, but that was it. It's like, really? You put him in the freaking credits, and he has less lines than Agent Firestorm.
All right. So we're going to get booted out of the airlock ourselves pretty soon. So, guys, final thoughts, very final thoughts on the X-Files Limited Revival 6 episode series.
Happy to have it back. Wish it had started and ended better.
Yeah, again, I was happy to have these 6 episodes, but if this is the end, I really will punch Chris Farrier in the balls.
I didn't take it quite so personally, maybe, but I am glad that Mulder and Scully are back in my life. I hope to see them again in the relatively near future. Let's see if we can't shake off a little bit of the creakiness, a little bit of the questionable storytelling aspects going forward. I'm happy they're back. I want them back again. Until that happens, my friends, where can people find you guys on the internet?
Well, to me, especially if you'd like Vince Gilligan, you can find me tomorrow at the Better Call Saul After Show here on AfterBuzz at 6 p.m., as well as GH Report, Castle, pretty much anything that involves some soap opera actor or X-Files. But yeah, spell my name right, LACRETIALYON. I know, it's weird.
You can follow me on Twitter at Happy Go Jackie. You can check out Lex and I doing the Legends of Tomorrow.
Today, tomorrow.
Yeah. Tomorrow, yeah,
a week from, Legends of a Week from Thursday.
Yeah. Legends, yeah. On Thursday nights here at AfterBuzz, and see me with my improv team, Max, every Tuesday night at 9:30 at IO West.
And I am all over social media at the Lex Michael. Thank you guys so much for joining us on this very brief run. The truth is still out there. We are as well. Please come find us on social media. We can talk about the entirety of the X-Files, things that we love, things that we don't, things that confuse us, things that make us feel happy, things that make us feel sad. We will see you very, very soon. I have to go Tad O'Malley, all of the things. All of them. I just have to Tad O'Malley everything now.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.